Good morning and welcome to Sunday Mornings with Love and Action with Ken Tuck of Love and Action Ministries in Dothan. This program is made possible by a generous gift from 231 Lemon Lot in Midland City and Enterprise. And now, here is Ken Tuck.
Good morning, everybody. I hope you're having a good Sunday morning, and thank you for joining us for the program. I want to start out with a couple of announcements, a couple of reminders. This coming Friday, May the 3rd, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., we're going to be joining our friends at the Harbor Church at 320 North Foster Street for a night of worship. It's from 6 to 8 p.m. It's a come and go or come and stay for 2 hours, whatever you choose to do. But come in and worship. And outside the harbor, we will have our Love and Action mobile kitchen set up to be serving food. We're going to be serving hamburgers, hot dogs, and all the fixings. It's going to be a night of gathering for worship, prayer, fellowship, unity. There'll be children's activities. Just the love of Christ will be flowing. So we ask you to come and join us. It's going to be a great time. And come down for Foster Fest, which is held the first Friday of each month. And this is something new for Foster Fest that we'll be joining our brothers and sisters at the harbor. So we're looking forward to that. And then on Saturday, May the 4th, we will be having the Homeless Connect, which is an event sponsored by the Southeast Alabama Coalition for the Homeless. And it will be held behind 211. 211 is in downtown Dothan on Main Street. But behind 211, you'll see a Covan 18-wheeler trailer on Hammond Street. And that's where everything is at. If you want to donate towards that, please do. We could definitely use help with camping supplies, water, non-perishable foods, hygiene items. Please come out. You can come out and volunteer. Help us pack the bags that we will give to the homeless. You can help us take the bags out to hand to the homeless and get to meet some of our homeless friends. But come on out Saturday, May the 4th, behind 211. And that's at 7 a.m. And you can come from and pack the bags and leave, or you can come and help pack the bags and go out, or just come and go out, whichever one you want to do. We just ask you to join us and please help with your donations. You can call 211 to find out more. And it's going to be a great event, and the community always comes out and just such great love. And a lot of people come out to help. So it's going to be a great weekend coming up, May 3rd at the Harbor, May 4th with the Homeless Connect. So we're looking forward to that. God is just doing so much, and we're so thankful to Him for all that He is doing. Most of all, we thank Him for His Son, Jesus, and the salvation that He freely gives us. Coming off of Easter weekend, it's always a weekend where so many people attend worship services who usually don't attend, and just praying that decisions that were made for Christ will be taken seriously and people will just really, really live for Jesus. In parts of the world, it's not easy to live for Jesus, and we're going to talk about that today. But before we do, let's go to our Father in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. God, You're so good to us in every way. And Lord, I just want to thank You for loving us like You do. You loved us so much that You died for our sins. And then praise be to Your name, Jesus. You rose from the grave on the third day to defeat death, to defeat sin, to defeat Satan, and to give all who believe eternal victory, eternal life with You, Lord. And we praise You for that. Lord, we love You. And thank You for just one blessing after another, God. You give us all we have to do is open our eyes and stop and look around. We can definitely count our blessings, Lord. And I pray we'll do that. We'll take time to do that each day. Lord, as we open up Your word this morning and as we talk about our brothers and sisters who are persecuted for Your name's sake, Lord, we just ask that You speak to us through Your Holy Spirit. And we pray for those brothers and sisters, Lord, that You will just, God, strengthen them even more, strengthen their faith even more, Lord. Lord, comfort them. We pray, Lord, encourage them. Lord, we pray for those who are persecuting You, Lord, and that they will come to know You as well. Father, we thank you, Lord. And your word tells us that as one member of the body hurts, we all hurt. As one celebrates, we all celebrate. So, Lord, we want to be obedient to your word. We want to pray for our brothers and sisters and just lift them to you, God. God, we know about the attacks in Sri Lanka, and Lord, we pray for those who are mourning. God, it's just another example of persecution that takes place around this world. So, Father, we lift them to you. We lift our brothers and sisters in the Philippines up to you, who we'll be talking about as well. And Lord, we just thank you, God, that through all the tragedies, Lord, and through all the persecution, you bring good. So, Father, we thank you, we love you, and we praise you, and it's in your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'm sure many of you have heard about the Easter bombings that killed nearly 300 people and injured around 500 in Sri Lanka. Apparently, a radical Muslim group carried out the killings. That's what the reports are saying. And according to the Associated Press, the suicide bombing struck three churches and three luxury hotels in the island's deadliest violence since the devastating civil war ended in 2009. Open Doors USA says it's the worst attack against Christians in Asia in recent history. Back in 2017, 45 Christians were killed in Egypt on Palm Sunday, and that same year, 75 were killed on Easter in Pakistan. So it's very dangerous to be a Christian in many parts of the world, and I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about what happened in Sri Lanka, and then another incident that didn't receive any news coverage, as at least not worldwide, because of where it happened, and 300 people didn't get killed. But nevertheless, it was still a persecuted situation where some brothers and sisters of ours that we have ministered with for the past 7 years were affected by it. But let's start out in Sri Lanka. If you're not sure where Sri Lanka is, it is a small island nation to the southeast of India. And it's a very beautiful island. I was blessed to go to Sri Lanka 4 years ago, and what a beautiful country it is, beautiful people. And actually, one of the hotels that was bombed was a hotel that we stayed at, and it was a beautiful hotel. These suicide bombers carried out their mission, and that hotel was one of them, but three churches were targeted. Those three hotels that were targeted, they called it an Easter breakfast. So apparently if you were doing anything that involved celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then you could be a target for that radical Muslim group. Sri Lanka ranks 46th on the 2019 World Watch list that's put out by Open Doors USA, and it's predominantly Buddhist. When I was there, it was easy to see that. The Buddhist temples everywhere. And I was in Colombo, where one of the bombings took place. I was also in Kandy, which is home to a very famous Buddhist temple called the Temple of the Sacred Tooth. It was just, as I walked through that temple and another one that we visited, It's beautifully decorated, but it's very sad, very depressing, because as I walk through, I see people bowing to idols and praying to fake gods. It just really crushed my spirit, knowing that they're just blinded and they haven't heard about Jesus. And I was able to talk with our host. I was actually there for what was basically a postgraduate class. And it was a very intense course, but very, very good one. And our host there, he was a Sri Lankan, and I was able to talk with him. I asked questions about his religion, because I did want to learn. But also, it opened doors to share about my faith in Jesus and to plant those seeds there in his heart. But it's a country that went through 50 years of civil war. And it was a political and religious war, very, very deadly. And the war ended in 2009. But due to its history, Religious nationalism has thrived in Sri Lanka. Radical Buddhist groups have sprouted up across the country, according to Open Door USA, and they were used by government, actually, as a means of keeping religious minorities in check. So it's really been a mess. When I was there, it was peaceful, thankfully, but tensions apparently are back up, and it was just a horrible thing that happened as terrorists used Easter to launch another deadly attack. Reading from an email from Open Door USA, they write, "In many countries where faith costs the most, Christians run a higher risk of being assaulted during Christian holy days such as Christmas and Easter. In countries like Nigeria, Iraq, Egypt, and Pakistan, worshiping on these special days often comes with potential danger." And that is so true. We have brothers and sisters in Pakistan, and I remember in 2017 when the attacks happened that killed 75, the Christians there they didn't know if they were going to be the next ones attacked or not. Thankfully, it was peaceful over there. This Easter, was chatting with our lead pastor over there in Pakistan, and he said they had a good Easter, and things were quiet, and that's a good thing. So we praise God for that. But Sri Lanka, obviously, it was not that case at all. One thing we have to remember is we're going to be persecuted for our faith. The Word of God talks a lot about that. Jesus talked a lot about that. The apostles talked about being persecuted and how we will be persecuted for our faith. And so I want to share some scripture with you. And when persecution comes, we should not be surprised, because Jesus warned us. God's Word warns us that it's going to happen, and we should actually expect it to happen. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 14. "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." See how the mindset that we are to have is totally different than how we usually react. Usually we react being shocked and getting mad and getting upset and wanting to retaliate. But Peter is writing here telling us to rejoice that we get to share with Christ's suffering. We get to suffer as Christ suffered, and that's something to rejoice because the Spirit of God rests upon us. So we need to start working and changing our mindset on how we respond to persecution. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." That's coming from the Apostle Paul. All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Have you ever been persecuted for your faith? In the U.S., that doesn't happen as much. It does happen. I remember a time when I couldn't get a job promotion because I was a Christian, but I didn't whine and cry about it. I just kept on going forward. Did it make me upset? Yes, I got upset about it. But then I was like, no, okay, well, I'm just going to keep going forward. God's got this. God has me. And I eventually did get promoted. Things like that happen. Here in the U.S., we've known that where churches, people have come in and shot up churches and have killed some people. So that does happen, just not on the scale that we see it in other countries, especially across the Mideast and Africa and into Asia. But Jesus says we can have peace through persecution, or as we're going through persecution. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So see, we can have peace at all times in Jesus, whether we're being persecuted or not. But in times of tribulation, in times of persecution, we can take heart, because our Lord and Savior has overcome the world. He's overcome Satan. He's overcome death. He's overcome it all. If you're a follower of Christ, then he lives in you. He lives in me. And so no matter what we face, we can have peace if we just stay focused on him. And that's a big key of many things, or of everything that goes on in life. I had a woman ask me the other day. She was very anxious and nervous about some things going on in her life and in her family's life. And she said, how do you stay calm? How do you have peace through that? Well, I basically shared this with her, the scripture with her out of John 16. And I shared an example of when I was very sick and almost died a few years back. And going through that time of great pain and great sickness, I focused on Jesus. And I focused on what he went through to pay for my sins, the beatings, the dying on the cross, and realizing that, you know what, I'm going through pales in comparison to what he went through. And I was able to focus on Jesus, on his salvation that he gives me, and that if it was time for me to leave this world and go to heaven, I was ready. I was ready spiritually to go see Jesus. But it was just focusing on him. That's what gave me peace and actually gave me strength to be able to pray for others while I was going through that. No matter what situation we're going through in our life, whether it's persecution, whether it's sickness or whatever, if we focus on Jesus Christ, then we will make it through it. And we will make it through it with peace and with victory. So just stay focused on him. Whatever's going on in your life, stay focused on Jesus, and he will give you peace, that peace that passes all understanding, peace in your heart, peace in your mind. And that's what we all need, is peace. And Jesus will give us that peace. Jesus told us about the world hating us because of him. So we should not be surprised when people hate us. Jesus warned us about that. Jesus told us about that. All we have to do is read his word. That's why I always encourage people, read his word every day, even if it's just a little bit in the morning or at night. Just start getting that word in you, and then you'll want to keep reading it. So just open up his word and read. If you haven't ever read the Bible before, I encourage you to read the Gospel of Luke, which is in the New Testament. The New Testament starts out with four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So I encourage you to read Luke, to read John, and then read Acts, and then go back and read Matthew, read Mark. But just start out with the reading about Jesus and learning about what he has to say. And he says in Matthew 10:22, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. So when you're hated because you're a believer, a follower of Jesus, don't hate back. He says to endure it. And again, stay focused on him. He'll get you through it. And you endure to the end, and we will be saved. So we need to be people who have endurance to keep on keeping on in the name of Jesus, despite any haters out there. You know, as they say, haters are going to hate, right? Well, they can hate. But you know what? We need to love back to show them the love of God, because maybe, just maybe, that seed will land on some good soil, and they too will experience the love of Christ and come to Jesus. In John, Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 18 through 20, Jesus says, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. So see, Jesus saying, look, the world's already hated me. You know, the world hated him to the point that they killed him. But Jesus rose again to give us the ultimate victory. And he goes on in verse 19 to say, if you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So right there, Jesus says, we're not greater than him. So if he was persecuted, and he was, like I said, to death, then who are we to say, well, people shouldn't persecute me. People can't persecute me. Well, yeah, they can, and yeah, they will. Because, again, we're not greater than Jesus. We're following Jesus, so our leader went through persecution, we should expect that too, because the world hated him, so they're going to hate us as well. But Jesus also tells us in Matthew 10:16, "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." That picture, sending you out as sheep among wolves, that's not a very nice picture, is it? Because we know sheep and wolves, what's going to happen there? The wolves are going to attack and eat lunch or eat dinner, what have you. So he's sending us out because he's telling us, look, it's going to be tough out there. And he's talking about there about following him. It's not easy. And we see that in Sri Lanka where the devastation happened, the people, the Christians who were killed there. And we see it happen. It happens almost every day around the world. Christians are being killed. It just doesn't get reported because it has to be on a grand scale, like 300 people dying in bombings before it gets reported. But Christians are being persecuted daily around this world. And Jesus tells us it's going to be like that. Now, we're in the U.S., and as I mentioned earlier, we just don't see that type of persecution here. I believe one day it will be here, and it will happen. And so we need to be prepared by changing the way we look at persecution. Instead of crying about it and whimpering about it, we need to rejoice. We need to thank Jesus that we are counted to be persecuted because he was persecuted. So as the apostles said after they were persecuted, they in Acts, they were saying, wow, we are counted worthy to be persecuted as our Lord. And that's the mindset we need to have. That's the mindset our brothers and sisters overseas have who face persecution daily. Matter of fact, they think it's normal that they face persecution. And according to the word, it is. So let's keep that mindset whenever we hear persecution and when it happens to us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, "For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." That's the Apostle Paul. He's saying he's content in all these situations. When he's weak, when he gets insulted, when he goes through hardships, when he's persecuted, when calamities happen. Because he understands that, or you know, he understood that when he was weak, then he was strong. Why is that? Because in our weaknesses, Jesus' strength comes out. He's made strong in our lives. And so we're at a point where we know we can't do anything. We can't overcome this on our own. But in Jesus, we can. Because Jesus has overcome the world, as we read earlier. So we have the power of Christ living in us. Another situation that happened, persecution that happened recently, about a month ago, over on the island of Mindanao in the country of the Philippines, where we have ministered the gospel of Jesus Christ with our brothers and sisters there since 2012. One of our key churches and schools was burned down intentionally, arson. While they were praying and singing hymns, a fire started. And it quickly burned. Thankfully, nobody was killed or injured, but the church, the school was burned to the ground. And it's not just a church and a school, it's also a home to a number of people, including some orphans. Churches over there are always a home as well for the pastor and his family, and also for some other people who serve at those churches who they just don't have a home because, look, they're very poor. And so it's like the book of Acts, they work together as a community to support one another and to spread the gospel together. But that church fire happened, and it was very heartbreaking. The next day, they were there at that site worshiping Jesus. That was a Sunday. They didn't let it stop their worship service. They worshiped Jesus anyway. They did what Jesus tells us to do in Matthew 5:44, where Jesus says, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." And Paul writes in Romans 12:14, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them." That's what our brothers and sisters there in the Philippines did. Yes, when it happened, they were shocked and they were very upset. But then they started thinking about, well, whoever did this, they need Jesus. And I thank them for that reaction because usually the reaction would be different. It would be, hey, who did this? Let's get them back, and so forth. But they really wanted to see whoever did this come to Christ. Well, two people were arrested for arson. And these brothers and sisters openly forgave those who set the fire, and they reached out to those people's families to help them, to comfort them, because they were upset that their relatives did this and that their relatives were in jail. So the church, the body of Christ, reached out to them, to the family of those who burned their church, their home, their school down. That's become news there in that city and town there on the island of Mindanao. And what a witness, what an example to really the world of how we should respond when we're persecuted because of our faith. So Jesus says to love our enemies, and that's exactly what they did. He said to bless those who persecute us. That's exactly what they did. And they forgave. Forgiveness is the key here, because Jesus tells us very, very clearly about forgiveness. In Matthew 6, verses 14 through 15, Jesus says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Wow. That's some words right there we need to take to heart. Do we have any unforgiveness in our hearts? If we do, we need to get it out. We need to release that. We need to release forgiveness to those who have harmed us, those who have persecuted us, those who have just been flat out mean to us, who hates us. We need to forgive them. That's not excusing what they did, but it's giving forgiveness, just as Jesus has forgiven us. We don't deserve forgiveness, but he gives it to us. Romans 5:8, God shows his love for us in this way, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So he died for us as we were enemies of his, and he died for us. He forgave us. The words he said up on that cross, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." He forgives us. So we have to forgive others. We forgive others, our Father in heaven will forgive us. So let's take the example of our Filipino brothers and sisters and forgive, release that forgiveness. Forgive others so we can be forgiven as well. And love those who hate us. Bless those who persecute us. Bless those who curse us. Don't curse them. Don't fight back. Those who live by the sword will die by the sword. Jesus told Peter that when he was arrested, and Peter took his sword and he actually chopped the guy's ear off, and Jesus took the ear and put it back on the guy. Said, I have to wonder, man, what was he thinking when Jesus healed his ear like that? But Jesus told Peter, look, if you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. So violence isn't the answer. Love, forgiveness, that's the answer. That's more powerful than any weapon on earth. So let's love people, let's forgive them, and let's pray for our brothers and sisters around this world who are persecuted for his namesake every single day. Pray for the persecuted church. They need our prayers. And any way you can support them, support them. If you want to help our brothers and sisters in the Philippines, just email me at ken.tuck@loveinactionministries.com, and I can tell you how. In Sri Lanka and other places around the world, opendoorusa.org is a wonderful organization who really does a great job of working with and supporting the persecuted church. So let's pray for and support our brothers and sisters who are persecuted daily. Well, we're out of time. I thank you for joining us today. I hope you have a great rest of the day and a great week coming up. May God bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to Sunday Mornings with Love and Action with Ken Tuck from Love and Action Ministries in Dothan. This program is made possible by a generous gift from 231 Lemon Lot in Midland City and Enterprise. To find out more about Love and Action Ministries, go to their website, loveandactionministries.com, or on Facebook.